Welcome to the Danny Carlson Podcast, your resource for growing the business and mindset for a life of unrestricted freedom. Now here's your host, online marketing acrobat, Danny Carlson.
So Dewan Bainey is a friend of mine who has been successful in building his agency, and he pays himself six figures from this agency, but he's also been successful with Kindle publishing and also online coaching and YouTube. So he has a vast experience in digital marketing. This episode is going to go really into emotional intelligence and specifically using emotional intelligence to create business relationships. And 99% of D1's SEO clients have come from these relationships. So we're going to dive into his, I don't want to say strategies, but more of a mindset for building business relationships and building a successful agency off of social capital in general. So if you're interested in that, this is going to be a really good one to dive into. So let's get into Dewan Bainey. What is up, guys? Danny Carlson here, and this is the Danny Carlson Podcast. And we have here a friend of mine who has a lot of different experience growing online agencies. And if you guys are following me, you know I'm a big proponent of online agencies. And I think right now during this crazy COVID times is one of the best times where these kind of businesses are going to become way more in demand over the next 6 months, over the next year, as a lot of business owners are forced to face the fact that they need to up their game in digital marketing, right? As a lot of businesses right now are going out of business or are faced with going out of business if they don't move to much more digital ways of doing things. So Dewan is a good friend of mine, hung out with me here in Bali. I actually convinced him to leave Vancouver and come hang out in Bali, where definitely enjoyed himself for some months. So really excited to dive into this one. How's it going, Dewan?
Good, brother. Really good. And yeah, man, talk about getting red-pilled going to Bali. We were just laughing before the call about how much I miss it. I want to get back out there. But yeah, this current landscape with the quarantine it's made a lot of businesses shift. And yeah, I think this is a good talk, man. It definitely is a skill set that is going to be in crazy demand coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, is that your motorcycle helmet from Bali back there?
Yeah, I ended up bringing it home. Would you believe that?
It's freaking awesome. And you have a motorcycle there in Vancouver as well?
I don't have anything yet. No, I'm getting the Supra fixed. I got a turbo Supra. So I'm gonna get that fixed, hopefully sell it, and then boot around on a bike maybe a little bit for the summer. But I'm telling you, man, I want to come back to Bali. So I'm trying to get rid of shit, not accumulate it.
Heck yeah. Well, we will have a good motorcycle ride whenever you can get back here, whenever the situation improves. But I think a good place to start off this interview is with your story in general. Like, how did you really even get into this whole world of building agencies? Like, was it one of your friends who just introduced this opportunity? And like, was there some major event in your life that just forced you to start off and dive into this world? What was it?
Yeah, and I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole here, but I've been working online for full-time for approximately 7 years, maybe a little bit longer than that. And when I mean I've done it all, I've done it all. Ebooks, physical products, service-based stuff. I've done coaching. I've had a mastermind group. So I've kind of tasted all the fruit, but yeah, to rewind, I moved to Vancouver 10 years ago. Was working like a car rental place. So really a crappy job, had really no plan, and fell in love with the music industry out here. I actually wanted to be a DJ producer, and just couldn't figure out the money thing. So anyways, started a corporate job, was working there for about a year and a half, and just wasn't happy. Ultimately wanted to be in control of my life, didn't really have a plan, and quit cold turkey and went and started a record label, of all things. So that was really my first like, okay, oh shit, no job, no money coming in, have to make this work. And again, realized very quickly that you create products, but it doesn't mean that people are going to purchase it. So gun to my head, I had to kind of just figure out digital marketing, right? I was broke. And at the time, there wasn't really tons of courses or YouTube videos to really learn it. So, you're on WSO forums buying $7 eBooks and things like that, just to try to get the secret sauce, right? And so I did that for about 6 months, was completely dead broke, and ended up finding the Kindle publishing opportunity. I don't know if you remember Stephen James here in Vancouver, but in a nutshell, publishing ebooks on Amazon. Amazon's got its own platform where you can upload a product. And because they have traffic, it makes it a hell of a lot easier. And that was really my first taste of SEO. I run an SEO and PPC agency here in Vancouver. But for the first time, I kind of started to understand what internet traffic really was, and that those that can control traffic can kind of write their own meal ticket. And that's ultimately why Amazon is such a successful platform. Anyway, so I built that up, was having a ton of fun, but deep down, I was missing that kind of personal connection. You know, for the people that know me in person, I'm quite the extrovert, and hiding behind my computer all day was actually not fulfilling. As much as the money coming in was great, I was just sort of missing that, that personal interaction, to be able to like feel the result of the effort that I was going in, you know, see that smile on somebody's face, or like hear the story of success. So I moved to digital products, started a bit of a YouTube channel for myself, helping people, you know, launch their own physical product, digital business, and really ran into a brick wall. I was working 40, 50 hours a week just on that kind of, you know, helping people create a passion-based business type thing. And in hindsight, the biggest mistake that I realized is that you can't change people. People are just kind of where they are in their life. And because I was able to quit my corporate job and have an online business, I felt like, man, if they just followed the steps, they could have the same life as well. And I didn't really think this talk would go this direction, but
what were some of the roadblocks that your students or the people you're following, like what were they coming up against? Because this is something I've experienced as well. I'm really curious to hear your experiences.
Yeah, you know, it's such a cliche where you hear, oh, it's 90% mindset and 10% execution, or you know, 10% what you know. And self-sabotage, imposter syndrome, who am I to put a course together on meal prep or working out? You know, they would see somebody else that was, in their eyes, wildly successful. You know, let's just say Elliot Hulse, right? He's got Strength Camp, like the working out channel. And it's like, well, if Elliot's done it, why should I go do it? Like, it's already been there. It's done that. And I think what it really came down to, bro, was identity shift. And looking back, that's really what I think it was. They identified as somebody that was, you know, I work a job, or I work a 9-to-5. And it was really the people that just honestly burnt the bridge, or were just in so much pain or enough pain to actually change their identity to go all in. And it wasn't for lack of work ethic. It's just, it really, I think, came down to that identity shift. Like, I am worthy, and I am of value, and that I can help people. And if they could like figure that out at its core and like really shift their identity to serving, that's where I think the X factor came in. But
Well, and before we get back to your story where we left off there, I'm really curious to hear, like, where was that shift for you? Was that when you were dead broke and the first business was not working out? You just like had the gun to your head. Like, a lot of people in that situation, they go crawling back to their 9-to-5 job and they'd call it a day, right? But you didn't do that.
Yeah, and I'm actually not very money motivated. I grew up in the hospitality industry with my family. Again, very poor. None of us had any money, and I felt disconnected in my corporate job. It was a great business. We were doing great work. It was very clean, wholesome work, but like, I wanted to be in control of like helping people, man. I think that's what it really came down to at the end of the day. And like, I just didn't want to go back. I was so sick of feeling dead inside, like just showing up and doing a thing because I have to do the thing. You know, we could use the buzzword freedom, but I didn't want to go back. There was just no version of going back. And it's that, yeah, I guess gun to the head, where it's like, you're standing in front of that semi truck and like, you got to get out of the way or else you're going to get mowed over. And I think you need that. You need that kind of all in and like make a decision, not just like, oh, I'm trying this out. Like, no, like make a decision to change your life and then just do it.
Yeah, absolutely love that. And it was definitely a similar situation with me, where it's like, I was just in a situation where I just needed to make it happen. Like, financially, the failure of a previous business put myself $20,000 in debt. And I was faced with, hey, do I go back to work in carpentry? And it's going to take me like a year to pay off that debt, or I can just go all in on this next thing, and then like at least I have the chance of paying that back within a much shorter time frame, and then I have the skill sets to make a much larger amount of money on top of that, right?
Yeah, amen. And that's the other thing that was fascinating. It's like, you just used the right exact word there, skill sets. It's like, even if I do this and it's not, successful in whatever fashion you try to communicate that, it's like, man, these skills are so valuable that I could just transfer on to the next thing. Versus, you know, me answering support tickets at some XYZ corporate job isn't, like, I'm never going to progress. It's just, this is what it is, you know? And that was the part that sickened me with my corporate job, was just, this was it. This is your box. This is where you live.
Yeah, you can't grow in a situation like that, right? So let's get back to your story of where you were. Yeah, I think we left off right when you were diving into the digital marketing thing for the first time.
Yeah, so I was, again, helping people transition from their corporate job to a passion-based business, whatever. And I was struggling. My heart was in it. I had the skills, but, and this will definitely segue into scaling the agency after, but I was serving the wrong people. And I couldn't see it at the time, but I wasn't really picking the ideal clients. It was just anybody that wanted to work with me, I'd have them work with me. And there's a local entrepreneur in the city called Dan Locke. I'm sure some people are familiar with him. So he had a mastermind group in the city. And when I joined that, that's what really shifted me to the service-based business. Now, the advice was really simple. It was help winners win more. And I'll never forget that advice. And ultimately, you know, if you're running a business, if you're selling to people that are in startup or maybe don't have money, it's very difficult to sustain your own business if they don't have any revenue to pay you, right? And it doesn't matter how much you love them or help them. At the end of the day, a business needs income in order to be able to serve and scale for a long term. And the agency business, in my opinion, is probably the most direct path to make $10,000 a month. Like, you, mm-hmm. you legitimately could do it in 30 days if you're just clear about what you do and your offering and you have a little bit of skill set. And the more I started diving into this agency model, yes, there's challenges. I mean, taking on 30 clients a month is very difficult. I think all of us agency owners can agree. There is sort of a sweet spot, but if you become specialized at something and you're targeting a business that already has revenue, already has a product that's selling in the marketplace and already has a form of traffic, all you have to do is improve their business maybe 10 or 15% and very easily make $1,000 to $1,500 a month without having to stress about selling them. They understand your value. And it was just like, boom, light bulb moment for me. And the best part for me is that I could also like see and touch and see my customer, right? And it's like, if I help a gym, not only am I seeing the gym owner being happy, but also the 400 people that are working out at their gym as well, getting healthy too. So in a way, it's like this beautiful ripple effect or butterfly effect where I can actually tangibly see it. And that's why I'm super, super passionate about these service style businesses. And you know, as much as it could be a love or hate relationship, I don't see myself ever getting out of the client services business. It's just, it just ticks so many boxes for me.
Yeah, well, that's such a key point you're making about selling to the right person too, because that's a big shift that I made in my agency maybe a year and a half or 2 years ago. In the beginning, was just selling to mostly beginner Amazon sellers, people who were launching their very first product, and they had really small budgets compared to a lot of brands who they're already successful, they're launching products, they need our services anyway, and they're probably going to be launching more products in the future, again, much more quickly. And if you're selling to them, those are your repeat customers, and they're going to be way easier to deal with than the newer customers, and they're going to pay you more money. So it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's only three ways to grow a business, ultimately. You either get more customers, which is what most people focus on online. For some reason, these internet marketers, more customers, more customers, more customers. Number two is increased frequency of purchases, which is the part that I love the most. The beautiful thing about the agency model is once you've sold the customer, you've built a relationship, the relationship is key, they're on retainer with you. You don't have to keep selling them every month. So you know, you're not playing this prospecting and selling game. Now, again, everybody's agencies are a little bit different. I know that you're a little bit more one-off, but yeah, frequency of purchase makes it the easiest thing. And then the last thing is obviously price. So if you focus on recurring and increased price, higher premium clients, so you can actually serve more. Like once you kind of go through that, it doubled my agency in 60 days as soon as I made that shift.
Yeah, absolutely big mindset shift there. And then so at this point, you're diving into the agency. And was it the current agency that you're running now? Is that the start of this SEO agency?
Yeah, so I went ahead and also purchased access to a fairly expensive SEO mastermind group. And that's one other piece of advice. Don't do this alone. There are so many intricacies of this business. I mean, at the front end, it's pretty simple. You know, run Facebook ads or do XYZ service for people. But if you can find somebody that already has the successful system/mindset, have hired some employees, et cetera, just buy the information, honestly. Because I don't know how I would have done this by myself. But no, the first iteration of the agency was I was just doing local clients. And my first actual sale was a coffee shop in Cole Harbour. So for those people that are not in Vancouver, Cole Harbour is a really quaint little area, but it's really just kind of foot traffic. It's not super busy. And, you know, I was trying to rank them for Vancouver coffee shop. And in hindsight, looking back at it, I'm like, man, why did I ever take that on as a client? But I charged them $500 a month. And to be honest, I had no idea what I was doing. I understood SEO at its whole, but I just got my feet wet and basically guaranteed him that in some way or another, I'm going to make you this money back. And we eventually did for sure. But you know, I started to learn my craft. Like if you're looking for a coffee shop, you're not necessarily going to go onto Google and search best coffee shop Vancouver, right? Like there's certain types of clients that take better to SEO. So it was a slow process. And I got up to about 5 clients locally when I started looking at my first kind of outsourced staff to start taking care of some of the more tedious work. I went through a fairly rough time. I went through a pretty bad breakup. I was with a girl for 8 years. And anyways, long story short, we were going to get married, the whole jam, and that fell through. And so I didn't even really grow the agency for quite some time. But again, the beauty of the relationships that get built with an agency, you don't have to constantly sell. So I was actually able to just hit maintenance mode for 6 to 8 months. And yeah, once I kind of got out of that, I just started focusing on hiring clients. I do want to talk about pricing structure after in a second, but ultimately I just came down to, I started increasing my prices. And as I increased my pricing, funny enough, I actually got better clients who are easier to work with, who I could get results for faster versus trying to pinch such a tiny little budget and you'd have to like rack your brain, you know, like how am I going to squeeze sales out of $500 budget versus if you get $2,000 or $3,000 or $5,000, you can actually like help a business, you know, versus these tiny little budgets. But that's kind of been the trajectory. Yeah.
And I'm really curious to hear, one of the questions I get the most often is your strategy for finding the clients. I know it's, we mentioned a few things like everyone's always focused on just finding more customers. But at the same time, it's important. You need to find more customers to grow a business if you don't have any, right? So like what have been your best strategies for finding those new clients for the SEO agency?
Yeah. So I am, I'm a relationships is everybody type of person. I believe that a lot of people have the internet wrong, where they see it as, oh, hey guys, like, oh, there's 1,000 people watching this. Well, in reality, it's actually only one person that's watching us right now, multiplied 1,000 times. And I've used my social media and honestly just local connections in the city to farm for it. Your first one or two clients are going to be difficult. You may have to cold call. You may have to knock on doors. You may need to go to networking events. Literally the coffee shop was a client, like it was the coffee shop that I go to almost every morning, and I would just shoot the shit with the business owner. And when I launched the SEO agency, I'm like, hey, let me do your SEO. So even that wasn't really a cold sale. I would say 99% of my clients have come through Social Circle or relationships coming in. Like, if you look at my website right now, and I mean, this is being as transparent as I possibly can, it's not even really that good. Nobody's coming onto my website to buy a cold, but you know, I have so many friends that are business owners, and I've narrowed my skill set down. And that's one other big piece of advice. Like, if you're a generalist agency for all people, good luck. That's when it becomes very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. you know, in the case of Kenji, it's like, are you an Amazon seller who's already launched a product, who needs video content, copy? Like, it's targeting something very specific. So when somebody just generally hears that, they're the ones putting their hands up. And quite often people are self-selecting. So for me, it's just a game of staying top of mind, and people know that I'm an SEO. And I mean, you've looked at my Instagram. I don't even post a lot of business stuff. I'm top of mind, and people know that I, or they know somebody that needs it, I tend to come up. Now, there is one other factor here that I have. I do have a referral program. So if somebody does close with me, so let's say, I don't know, I'm having beers with my buddy on a Friday night, and he's like, hey, I know a business owner that might need SEO. I offer 20% front end and then 10% recurring for the lifetime of the client. So if he sends me a $2,000 client, I'm going to pay him $400 the first month and then $200 recurring, completely passive to him, just for giving me the lead. And most of my clients have come from that, to be completely honest. It's grassroots. But again, you only need 10 good clients at 2 G's a month to have a $20,000 a month business. Like, you don't need a zillion clients to make it happen.
Totally. The math is pretty simple there. And I love what you're saying about relationships too, because that's what I hammer home with all of my students in the beginning. It's not about just like, oh, I got to start this big YouTube channel and I got to be, you know, be hard in Facebook groups and stuff like that. And that's good. And that can amplify that. But getting your first couple clients is going to be from your own social circle, your own network 100%. Of some kind, right? It's going to be from you phoning up your buddy who, you know, is like, has a lot of friends who are your target customer, and just like having a beer with him or something like that. And if you just constantly like make people aware of what you're doing, then as long as you are actually a good person and you have those good relationships, then you're going to get business from that. And that's way easier than starting, you know, SEO for your own website. That takes months and months to get any traction with SEO. And a YouTube channel, same thing. It just takes a lot of consistent effort to get any real results from that. Yeah. So your first results are almost certainly going to be from your own network. I love that you touched upon that.
Yeah. And I think the reality is there is no reality. If somebody's watching this YouTube channel right now and they're interested in some version of digital marketing, if you just like took a pen and paper and ignored even charging people and wrote down 10 people that own businesses that, you know, like your uncle, you know, the deli down the street where you've been buying sandwich meat for the last 10 years, like, you know, 10 people that own businesses that need digital marketing in some fashion, just write those 10 people down. And if you're really scared, be like, can I run your Facebook ads for a month? Can I SEO your site for free? Can I redesign your web? Like, whatever it takes, do it for free, even just to get the case study, just to get your feet wet. And like, once you've gotten a result, like, it's like before you've ever run a Facebook ad, you're scared, right? But once you've run a Facebook ad and like had a click to a website or like an add to cart or a purchase, you're like, oh shit, this is real. So get through that as quick as possible. Get a result for somebody for free. Once you've got that behind you, it'll have the confidence to actually go into another business owner and sell it.
Yeah, and like, don't underestimate the power of helping out people in your network too. Because like, I'll use the example of you, D1. Like, I know you as the SEO guy, so I'll ping you up whenever there's some crazy SEO problem I'm dealing with, and you've helped me out a lot. And so whenever there's people that ask me about SEO, first person I think of is D1, and I'm going to be like, yeah, would you like an intro to my friend D1? He's the freaking SEO guy.
Yep. Yeah. And being collaborative, this is, the agency world's interesting. Like, I'm friends with 3 other SEOs and I'm sharing everything I'm doing with them. They're sharing with me. And if you're in an abundance mentality, we're never going to run into each other. Like, you don't have to be afraid of competition in this, you know, and in other businesses, like, you know, let's just use Amazon, right? Oh, I don't want you to know my product. I don't want you to know my niche. This is the opposite. You can be out there and be proud about what you do. And you're exactly right. Like, if I need somebody for Amazon photography or videography or copy, you're gonna be the first person I know. So it's like, because of one relationship, Danny, you've got access to my entire network. And likewise, I've got, so if it is a relationship game. It's if you're gonna be running an agency and hiding behind the screen, I hate to say it's probably the wrong business, but if you're into nurturing relationships, it's one of the best businesses, I believe.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that as well. And let's just flip scripts a little bit here. And I want to hear about one of your big hard lessons that you've learned throughout this whole digital marketing journey here. Like what is a story that comes to mind where you just got slapped really hard and you learned a very valuable lesson from that mistake?
Oh man, it seems like every day there's a new slap. That's the reality. What was the big, okay. I'm talking for like, let's say you're running SEO or Facebook ads or something like that. Charging too little money will kill you. There was a time when I think I had 10 or 12 clients. I think my average was like maybe $800 or $1,000. And not pricing my time. Like right now internally when I'm, and this is being really transparent, I'm trying to average about $150 an hour for actual work done in the agency, like internally when I'm pricing a client. So that allows me to, you know, cost of acquisition, that allows me to hire excellent team members who are actually really good at what they do. And then it also helps me justify an income goal, right? So if I want to make $300,000 a year working 40 hours a week, that's $150 an hour. So it kind of gives me like a nice kind of metric. But I ran into the issue where I just kept saying yes. Yes, I'm going to take clients on. Yes, I'm going to help you. And it, from a place of love, right? Like I really did want to help them. And these $1,000 a month clients, all of a sudden I had 10 or 12 clients. I can't quite remember the number. And I couldn't escape because there's so much work that needs to be done, but I priced it too cheap that I couldn't afford to hire somebody. And my bills were, I mean, they were still pretty decent. And I was like caught in this loop of like, well, shit, I need more money to hire somebody, but I can't take on any more work because they like, I have no more time. And it just started this really bad treadmill. And, to answer your question, other than the pricing thing, like I had no time for self-love either. So I was actually 30 pounds heavier than I am right now. And I was just grinding myself. I saw no way out. It was like this velvet handcuff hamster wheel. And I ended up getting lucky, if you want to call it that. And a couple clients dropped off and I had no choice but to just to sell at a higher price. And, so I think I closed like a $3,000 or $3,500 a month client. And as soon as I tasted that breathing room of like, I can serve this client because we had more of a budget. I didn't have to be like sneaky or like really ninja with what I was doing. It's like, we had a budget to do the thing properly, right? Like it shifted everything for me. And, shortly after that, I basically cleared out 50 or 60% of my clients because I just had that trust, like that abundance, like, oh shit, these type of clients do exist. I just have to target that. And that's what allowed me to eventually get a team in place and work on what I do best, which is a strategy and sales. When you first start the agency, you're wearing every hat, right? You're doing the stuff, you're doing sales, you're doing accounting, you're doing HR. So you might be strong at one thing, maybe you're really strong at the technical, but you're not good at the communication. Or if you're like me, I'm far stronger on the communication, sales, and strategy, but sitting behind the computer for 8 hours a day is not my jam, you know? You have to have a plan to be able to afford somebody to come in and cover your weakness would be kind of my biggest advice. And I know a lot of agency owners are stuck in that sort of 8 to 10 client hamster wheel. And there's no way out because they didn't price high enough.
Yeah. No, and that's something that I think so many people struggle with in the beginning, because if you don't have that confidence in what you're doing, you're just starting out, then trying to charge people a high amount of money is just in your brain, that's not going to work, right? So I think it's very common for most people to price their services way lower than they actually should be pricing them. And one thing to keep in mind, you touched on it, is just because you can make, you know, you're okay with making $1,000 a month from two or three clients and that's enough to pay your bills, think about where that's going to grow. Like, is that going to allow you enough money to actually hire the team and to expand the company in the way you do things? Because if your pricing model works for the army of you, that does not mean it's going to work for the army of you plus three or the army of you plus 10. The pricing model has to change as you scale up the company, right?
Yeah. And I, so when I say, you know, $150 an hour, people think, oh my God, that's crazy. Right. But, the way that I look at it, so let's just take a $2,000 a month client. Okay. Just to keep the numbers nice and easy. When I look at pricing them, I'm like, okay, 50% of that is going to go to fulfilling it, the delivery. Okay. So boom, $1,000 already gone about a month. And then I'll say 50% again, we'll go to taxes and everything else. So really when I'm seeing a $2,000 a month client, in my mind, it's like, oh, I'm only making 500. It keeps me honest in terms of, I don't get like super excited when I see a big number, but it also leaves me like wiggle room that if something does go weird with a client, either I can pay out of my own pocket or we can hire another specialist in, or I can afford to bring somebody else that's working on another project in without it sinking the ship. So, it doesn't always work, but it allows me just that flexibility and calmness that there is room versus, you know, it's $1,000 a month client and I have to work 20 hours a week for them. Shit. Like by the time it's all done, it's like, I did all this work for $250. Like, was it really worth that mental bandwidth? The answer is probably not. It is probably a better client for me to work with.
Absolutely. And so as we come to the end of our interview here, Dion, where do you see your agency growing? Like, what I know you're someone who's not really motivated by money and doing that, and you're much more motivated by just having the lifestyle that you want to achieve, right? So where do you see yourself growing this agency to in 2020 and beyond?
Yeah, so this is kind of the business model I'm at now. It's not something that'll be easy for somebody just starting, but to kind of give you an idea of where it can head. My primary income stream now is actually rev share with clients. So we take a fairly heavy monthly retainer on the front end, and I've been consistently negotiating 10% top line revenue. So if a client is making $100,000 a month, I'm taking 10,000 of that on top of our retainer. And the beauty is that I get to really have a long, deep relationship with the client. I get full control basically to manage their stores or business in that way. And that's really where I see my agency. I mean, we've got two clients right now that are on that. And I'd like to maybe get three more and that's it. And we just, you know, run the game with these clients for the next 3 to 5 years or whatever that looks like. And you know, these clients have become friends. You know, they're almost like brothers. I don't know how to explain it, you know. We're sending memes at 2 a.m. sometimes on a Friday. And it's like my life has become fun. You know, these are people's businesses that I really care about. I care about their product. I care about their mission. I get to do what I love to do, which is help amplify great messages anyways. But in terms of where I see the agency, it's a very easy scale to say 50, 60, 70K a month, which is enough for me to have a great team, to enjoy the lifestyle that I want. And then maybe put one or two of my own products in that pipeline as well. But that's really where I see it. And again, it's not necessarily for everybody, but the performance-based marketing allows you to get paid what you're worth, you know? And it definitely is a little bit of a longer sell, but I find the business owners that do actually say yes to that, they're vested to win with you. So I think it's a beautiful win-win for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's definitely a good model, but like you said, probably not the best one to start with. Like, once you know that you absolutely can deliver the results that you're going for, like, you don't want to put your own rent check on something that you don't know you can deliver and are confident in delivering, yes. Right? Yes. So like, once you got your stuff figured out, you know you're the best in the game, you know that you can deliver the results, then yes. You can tie your results to your compensation with the client, and then it's a win for both parties, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think anybody starting an agency, if I was to go back in time and tell myself like what I would do over, focus on getting to 10K a month as quick as possible, but make sure that there is enough margin there to bring on a team member to hire your weakness at that around 10K a month mark. If that's all you focus on, again, 60 to 90 days, you could have a six-figure business that's completely digital. And the reality is, we are all right now experiencing this quarantine in one way or another. People are getting used to shopping online. Business owners are having to embrace the shop online, deliver online. And people that are skilled in digital marketing, specifically traffic, in my case, that's what I do, everybody's going to need customers coming out of this. Everybody. And what better place to be in than this? So, you know, Danny, you helping people move into the agency model, I think is an amazing gift. Yeah, bro, that's kind of all I got to say on that. But it really is there. It really is.
Yeah, man, that's the mic drop right there. And I love what you're saying, D1, because your advice is always from such a place of like honesty and integrity that I think is a rare thing in the digital marketing space a lot of the time. Like a lot of the stuff you're hearing from all these YouTubers and stuff like that is just, it's not coming from a place of integrity. It's coming from a place of, I want you to believe what I'm saying so that you will purchase my info product, right? Yeah. This is coming from someone who has been through some rough shit and has seen some success on the other side of that, right? So you really understand how the game is played on, you know, an emotional intelligence level, which I think is really good for listeners to hear. But man, this has been an awesome interview. I know it's really valuable for the listeners here. If they want to reach out to you or learn more about you online, where's the best place for them to do that?
Right now, my Instagram at D1Baney is probably the best place to hit me up. I'm probably a little bit too active there, to be honest. But Instagram would be my best. YouTube channel is there. I haven't really put out content in quite some time. But I would say my Instagram or YouTube is kind of the best place to hit me up. And if there's any way I can help anybody that's executing out there, fire me a DM. I'd probably reply.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks so much for coming on here. And guys, if you are looking for any of the resources we mentioned in this episode, you can find that at the show notes, dannycarlson.co/podcast, and the links to D1's Instagram and YouTube channel will all be over there. And if you haven't left a review already for the podcast, would really appreciate that. It is very difficult to get people to go on their phone over to the iTunes app or the Stitcher app. It's actually almost impossible to leave a review on Android app. It has to be on Stitcher for some reason. I don't know who created this thing, but Stitcher or iTunes, really appreciate that, guys. And until next time, go out there, kick some ass.
Thanks for joining us on the Danny Carlson Podcast. For resources mentioned in this episode, visit dannycarlson.co.